Moment, du mal. Ich hab Kunde getroffen.
Eisfest.
Was?
All right, Tavasa, good morning. Today's daf is Daf Yud Gimel. We're going to leave off. We left off on... Ten Rabbanan, thank you. Okay, Ten Rabbanan. All right, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up. Thank you. Ten Rabbanan. Irabo Psul. What happens if, so we'll say now, we're talking about the cases in which something happens to the Kohen Gadol, and therefore, bless you, and therefore the Skan, the replacement has to operate in his stead. So the Mishnah says, the Brisa says, Irabo Psul, Amino Achar Tachtov. So they went ahead, the Kohen Gadol has a Psul, they appointed someone else in his stead. Rishon Chozer La'avodasom. So Rabbi say, when the original Kohen Gadol becomes fit, he returns to office. Sheni Komitzos Kohuna Gidola Lav Div Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir says, but the second one, i.e. the replacement, who then became the primary, also remains the Kohen Gadol. Now Rabbi say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Komitzos Kohuna Gidola Lav, it's the third Y line in Rashi. Lo Porea Velo Porein, which Rabbi say means, Lo Porea Velo Porein means he does not tear his clothing, nor does he allow his hair to grow. What that means, Rabbi say, not tearing his clothing is reference to Avelus. Remember, again, a Kohen Gadol does not observe the laws of mourning. See, he does not tear his clothing, velo porim, he does not allow his hair to grow. Allowing his hair to grow both is, number one, a form of avelos, but also remember, it's interesting, the Kohen Gadol must get his hair cut on a regular basis. The Rambam Paskin, the Kohen Gadol gets his hair cut once a week. Once a week, right? Why? Because the Kohen Gadol must be in tip-top grooming shape. He must look the part. So therefore, ve'eino metami lekrovim, he does not become tummy for his immediate relatives. Umusar Allah Amana is not permitted to marry a widow, which means because he can only marry a besula. Umushamish Vishwan Gadim, and he wears the clothing of the Kohen Gadolim. So here you have Rabbi Meir, who says that even once the replacement becomes Kohen Gadol, always Kohen Gadol. And even though when the first one comes back, he will resume the day-to-day responsibilities of the Kohen Gadol, the second one remains in that position as well. Rabbi Yossi says, Rishon Chozer Lavodoso. Rabbi Yossi says, no. The first one comes back, the first Kohen Gadol, when he finishes whatever the impediment was, tumah, whatever else, he comes back. Sheni in a roi lo le Kohen Gadol lo le Kohen Hedjo. But the replacement is nishtahin nishtaher. So he can't go ahead and continue to be the Kohen Gadol, obviously, because there's only one Kohen Gadol. But he also can't go back to being a regular Kohen Hedjo. Amar Rabbi Yossi, we'll see why. Rabbi Yossi says, Ma'as Rabbi Yosef ben Elam. Bitsipori. There was once Yosef ben Elam. Yosef ben Elam is, or was, a Sagan Kohen Gadol. He was the backup. He was the backup. And what happened? She'ira bo psul b'Kohen Gadol, mino tachtov. So once what happened, they called Yosef ben Elam out of the bullpen. The Kohen Gadol became Tomei, and they called Yosef ben Elam out. He took the position. Va'amru chachamim rishon. And then what happens? And then let's say afterwards, the Kohen Gadol came back to service. And the Chachamim said, Rishon Chozer La'avodaso, Sheni Eino Roi Lo LeKohen Gadol Lo LeKohen Hedjo. And I told Yosef Ben Elam, when the Kohen Gadol came back, you could resume here, but again, understand that you can't really do anything. You can't be the Kohen Gadol, and you can't go ahead and be a Kohen Hedjo. Why?
Did this happen on Yom Kippur?
This could have probably been a Yom Kippur case. Yeah. Yeah, and Rashi doesn't point out when it happened. I don't know if it really matters exactly when it happened, but the point is, Kohen Gadol came back. So the Gemara says, what happens? Lo the Kohen Gadol, lo the Kohen Hedjot. Kohen Gadol, mishum Eva. You say, you can't be the Kohen Gadol literally because of Eva. Eva Avosa means animosity. That you can't have two Kohanim Gedolim. You just can't have that because it's not going to be good. Kohen Hedjot, and he can't be a regular Kohen. Why? Mishum ma'ale b'kodesh v'lo moridin. Because Avosa, again, once you've served in the capacity of the Kohen Gadol, you can't go back to being a Kohen Hedjot. There's a general concept that we go up in Kiddushah, we ascend and we do not descend. Amr Rabbah Bar Rachan and Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, fundamental machlokes is Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that Lemaisa, once you become Kohen Gadol, you essentially retain that status, even if you are not the active service Kohen Gadol. So the replacement, once he becomes Kohen Gadol, essentially continues to practice that way. He'll wear the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. The restrictions on Avelos will apply to him. He'll have to cut his hair regularly. Rabbi Yossi says, no. You're only the acting Kohen Gadol when the primary Kohen Gadol is out of service, but once he's recommissioned, then Lemaisa, you kind of go into a Kohanic no man's land. You can't be Kohen Gadol because there's only one Kohen Gadol. You can't be a Kohen Hedjo because Ma'alim Mekodesh Ve'in Moridin. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tap of Yud Gimel, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Namely what? Namely that Lemaisa, once the Kohen Gadol comes back onto the scene, this gan is kind of relegated to this Kohanic no man's land. Umod Rabbi Yossi agrees, she'im avar va'avad avodoso, that what happens if the coin got, if the scan coin gadol, the backup, ended up doing the avoda of the coin gadol, that avodoso kishera, that the avoda is kasher. Rabbi, if you take a look, for some reason, Rashi over here is back on your days on with days. I'm not sure why the page was set up this way, but you'll see it over here. It's five lines up from the bottom. Shim avar va'avad. Bishmona begadim kikoin gadol avodasek sheir. So I will say, even though Rabbi Yossi says that when the original kohen gadol is fit to serve, that the skan is no longer the kohen gadol. If the skan, however, operated in the capacity of the kohen gadol and wore the eight garments of the kohen gadol and did the avoda, he says that the avoda is ksheira the ha kohen gadol hu, because at his core he is still a kohen gadol. Again, this is going back to what Rabbi Yossi say. Why can't the skan continue to serve as the Kohen Gadol? Because it's not good for Shalom Bayis. It's not good for Beis HaMikdash family dynamics to have two Kohanim Gidolim. It creates a sense of competition, could create a sense of animosity, and we don't want that. Therefore, again, we tell him you're not the Kohen Gadol. But if he did the avoda of the Kohen Gadol, wearing the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, then, in fact, the avoda works. Listen to what Rashi says here. Aval ba'arba vaday psula dehavelei chaser v'gadol v'rabosai. If this same coin went ahead and what? Went ahead and did the avoda in the clothing of a regular coin, a coin head yot, then that avoda would not be good. That avoda would not be good. Because at the end of the day, Lemaisa, again, he's not a Kohen Hedyot. So back to the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Am Rav, Halach Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav also, that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Umod Rabbi Yossi, she'imes rishon, she'chozer la'avodoso. But Rabbi Yossi agrees, I will say that what? That if the Kohen Hedyot, if the Kohen Gadol dies, then who becomes the automatic next Kohen Gadol? The Skan. Cool. The replacement. Why? So the Gemara says, Pshita. So that's obvious. What's the chiddush in that? So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema, what would you have thought? Havi leitzare mechaim. I might have thought that if that's the case, it creates an uncomfortable competition, even when the Kohen Gadol is alive. Meaning, if the Kohen Gadol looks over his shoulder and he knows, that is the guy who's going to take my job. Imagine about your place of work. Right, your employer. If you work for somebody, your employer says, "Listen, you know, Reuven, I want you to meet Shimon. Yeah, Shimon's in here just in case you die. Right, in case that, I just want you to know, you know, we've got your backup already. You know, so when you see Shimon davening there in the corner with Kamincha, a lot of Kavana, you have to wonder what exactly he's davening for. So the point the Gemara is making is, what?
Watch your goof.
That's right. So one would have thought that perhaps, again, it's an uncomfortable and counterproductive dynamic. Kamashmalon, that again, so according to Yossi Rabbi Yossi, what happens is the following. You have the coin gold, you have the scan. If one goes ahead, something happens to the coin gold, the scan fills in. Once the scan fills in, he is vested with Kohen Gadol Kiddusha. Now, again, but once the original Kohen Gadol is fit for service, he resumes the responsibilities of the Kohen Gadola. The problem, of course, at this point in time is, what do you do with the Skan? So Rabbi Yossi says, essentially, he still remains the Kohen Gadol, but he's a decommissioned Kohen Gadol. He doesn't do the avoda of the Kohen Gadol. Why? Only because of Eva, because we don't want to create animosity. But if he were to do the avoda of the Kohen Gadol, as long as he's wearing the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, the avoda would be good. If he, however, were to practice as a Kohen Hedyot, then the avoda would not be good. And in the event that the Kohen Gadol dies, Lemaisa, this Skan Kohen Gadol is the automatic next Kohen Gadol. And this is indeed, in fact, how the Rambam himself paskins. The Rambam says, this is in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says two things. First of all, we will say, based on our daf yesterday, the Rambam paskins Avodaso Michan Choso. Very important. Remember, we had this idea, asked if the Kohen Gadol dies on Yom Kippur, how exactly do we consecrate or inaugurate the Kohen Gadol into the new Kohen Gadol into his service? So he paskin again, just by simply doing the avoda, that's the consecration. And the Rambam also paskins, like Rabbi Yossi, that after Yom Kippur is over and the Kohen Gadol returns to his position, the skan ultimately is considered to be a Kohen Gadol. He just doesn't do the service of the avod of the Kohen Gadol. If he did the service is kosher. And when the first Kohen Gadol dies, the skan automatically takes his place.
What's the rest of the year?
Kolo. Yeah. So says the Gemara. Rabbi Huda Omer af isha acheres maskinu. So both say, remember, what did the Mishnah say? Rabbi Huda said, we even established another wife for him. That I remember again, I both said, just like we establish a backup Kohen in case something happens, Rabbi Huda says, we also establish a backup wife. So says the Gemara, v'rabbana nami ha-chayshi l'shema. So both say, interestingly enough, the rabbis disagreed with Rabbi Huda. And the rabbi said, no, you don't have to establish another wife. You don't have to set up another wife for him. Why? Because we're not choshesh that his wife is going to die. So the Gemara says, but the rabbis are contradicting themselves. Because on one hand, the rabbis said that we have to go ahead and set up a Kohen Gadol, a backup Kohen Gadol, in the event that something happens to the Kohen. So we're choshesh that the Kohen could become tamei, but yet what? We're not choshesh that his wife is going to die. So the Gemara says, once you're being choshesh for things, then you should be choshesh for all possibilities. So Amalekha Rabbanon, the Rabbanon will say, no, tuma shchicha, misa lo shchicha. So the rabbis say, we plan for eventualities that are common. So the fact that a Kohen Gadol can become tamei, so that is a realistic occurrence for which we must create the contingency plan. But for the fact that the Kohen Gadol's wife must... But for the fact that the Kohen Gadol's wife may go ahead and die, that we're not choshesh for. Again, I'll say, because that's not an occurrence that we have to actively plan for. So says the Gemara, Amrulo imkein ein ladavar sof. So remember again, they said to Rabbi Huda, if you're going to go ahead and set up a backup wife, because his wife may die, then lemaisa again, then you should set up a backup for the backup, because she may die as well, and ain l'davar sof, there's no end to the matter. So says the Gemara, Shapir ka'amri le'il Rabbi Huda. The rabbis are saying good. So what does Rabbi Huda respond to that? Rabbi Huda will say, Lemisa dechada chayshinan, Lemisa detarti lo chayshinan. So Rabbi Huda will say, we're choshesh for the death of one. We're not choshesh for the death of two. So okay, the fact that his wife may die, okay, that's a possibility we have to plan for. But the fact that his wife may die, and the backup wife may die, that we're not going to plan for. But on the other hand, v'rabanon, i'ika lemechash, afilu lemisa detrein chayshinan. The Rabbanon, on the other hand, say, well, one second, either you're choshesh for death, or you're not choshesh for death. If you're choshesh for death, then what? Then everybody's subject to that chashash. Why is the statistical probability of wife number one dying any greater than the statistical probability of wife number two dying? So if you're choshesh for death, you have to be choshesh for death on all levels, and therefore you should create a whole string of backup wives. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbanon, Neimru Inhu L'Nafshayu. So why don't the rabbis apply this same logic to themselves? Now, what does the Gemara say? That if indeed we are going to be choshesh for the tuma of the Kohen Gadol, then why not be choshesh for the tuma of the skan as well? So remember, the fundamental machlokes is like this. Rabbi Huda is choshesh for both tuma and nisa. And therefore, he says, what we do is we go ahead and we plan for both of those contingencies. And therefore, we'll go ahead and appoint a scan Kohen Gadol. So therefore, if the Kohen Gadol becomes tamei, we have a backup. That's number one. And also, we're choshesh that perhaps his wife is going to die. And therefore, we go ahead and establish a backup wife as well. So if the Rabbanon are really concerned about tuma, then why shouldn't we be concerned about the tuma of the skan? Maybe the Kohen Gadol is going to become tamei, and maybe the backup Kohen Gadol is going to become tamei as well. Perhaps we should appoint other people to be backup as well. Amri le Rabbanon, Rabbanon will say, Kohen Gadol zorisu. We're not really worried. You know why? Because the Kohen Gadol himself was someone who was very zoris. Very zoris means he was very conscientious about his job, and therefore he's not really going to become tamei. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, lama mitakinon koin acher. So we'll say, but if that's the case, that we're so convinced that the koin is so zar, that the koin is so conscientious, then why set up a backup to begin with? Then why even the need to create the scan? So the Gemara says, we'll say, we learn this actually on Amud Aleph, Beis Amud Aleph, Kevan da'avdinon leitzara, Kol shekein demizdaris tfei. Because of Osai, there is nothing that keeps you on your toes like knowing that you have a little bit of competition. Like knowing that there's another guy that is sitting right there on the sidelines ready to jump on your job as soon as you go ahead and slip up. That's what creates this reason. So Osai, an incredible yisod in general. that when people don't feel competition, when people don't feel a fire burning under them, they can get away with underperforming. But when you know that there's competition on the sidelines, lemaisa, you bring out your A game. So therefore, the Gemara says over here, so in reality, are we choshish that the Kohen Gadol is going to go ahead and become Tameh? Kohen Gadol, we generally assume, is Zoriz. But you know what creates even a greater Zrizus? Is the fact that there's a backup. Umi sagile betakanta. So we'll say, now watch this. Now, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to go ahead and establish a backup wife for the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, and the whole reason for this is why? Because we're afraid, because the Kohen Gadol must be married for the service of Yom Kippur to be effective. So the Gemara says, does this process of creating a backup wife actually remedy and address the issue? After all, beso amarachmana, vaha lav besohu. We'll say, what does the Torah say? The Torah says, v'chiper ba'ado u'ba'ad beso. He will go ahead and atone for ba'ado on behalf of himself, u'ba'ad beso on behalf of his home. And we saw already the Gemara says, beso zo ishto. Right? What's your home? Your home is your wife. So that's why the Kohen Gadol has to be married. So we'll say, let's analyze this. Let's say Mrs. Kohen Gadol, Baruch Dayan Emes, dies on Yom Kippur. So now there's the backup wife. Very nice. What's the only problem? They're not married. Meaning, so what exactly? So, meaning, but beso doesn't just mean that you have a kala. Beso doesn't just mean you're seeing someone seriously. Beso doesn't just mean you know. I think there's a future over here. Beso means you're married to her, but you're not. But in this, the way we're setting this up over here, Mrs. Kohen Gadol dies before Yom Kippur. Okay, you can marry. There's time to marry. What if she dies on Yom Kippur itself? What is he going to do? To which the Gemara says, "You're right. What happens?" No, you know what? They do Kiddushin before Yom Kippur. Rabbi say, remember, biblically speaking, polygamy is permitted. So therefore, what's going to happen on Erev Yom Kippur? By the way, this is not a good way to go into Yom Kippur with your wife. That's what I tell you. You want to talk about asking for mechila. This is... I hope the Kohen Gadol was having the Suda Mafsek is somewhere else. But what does he do? He actually betroths this woman on Erev Yom Kippur or sometime before Yom Kippur. He actively is Mekadesh. The Gemara says that still doesn't work. But that doesn't matter. Kiddushin is not enough. Rabbos say beso has a connotation of full-fledged marriage, which means Kiddushin and Erisin. Now, lav dafka, that he have to have lived with her. That's not what the Gemara is suggesting. What the Gemara is suggesting, however, is just procedurally, they have to be fully married for it to be called beso. You need Kiddushin and Erisin. Remember, we'll say, we actually learned this in our Amud Yomi days. So Kiddushin is accomplished just by giving a woman an item of value. It creates transactional marriage. But there's still another piece called Erisin. Erisin is chuppah, whatever chuppah means. But you have to do chuppah. So the Gemara says, just because he's Mekadishur, that doesn't make her beso. To which the Gemara says, you're right. The Kanisla. Okay, you're right. What happens? Mamish, sometime before Yom Kippur, he marries her. Erisin and Nisuin. So the Gemara says, well, then you have a problem. Imkein habile shnei batim. If that's the case, Rabbos say, then what? That the Kohen Gadol has two homes. So you'll say, who cares about two homes? Rachman, or the Torah says, v'chiper ba'ado u'ba'ad beso. He will atone for himself and for his home, singular, v'lo ba'ad shnei batim. But he does not atone for two homes. So also, now we're in a little bit of a catch-22. On one hand, the Kohen Gadol has to be married in Yom Kippur, and therefore, again, we want a contingency marriage as well. As on the other hand, he cannot be married to two women at the time of the Avodah. To which the Gemara says, you're right. So what does he do? He marries her and then he divorces her. So the Gemara says, well, what does that do? If he divorces her, then we're back to square one. Now, I will say, what the Gemara is now going to do is the Gemara is going to go through a series of possibilities that are all fundamentally flawed. Fundamentally flawed. And the Gemara knows they're fundamentally flawed. We're just trying to reach some type of final resolution over here. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha, what's the case over here? The Megarish la'al tonight. He divorces her on condition. What's the condition? Da'amar la hari zegiteich. Well, so listen to this. He says to her, this is your get. Almanas shetamusi. This is your get on the condition that you die. And I'll say, now, what does that mean? This is your get on the condition that you die. That should you die over the course of Yom Kippur, it'll turn out that what? That you are retroactively divorced. You're retroactively divorced. And therefore, I was never married to you. And therefore, there's not a problem of being married to two women. So the Gemara says, that's fine if she dies. I mean, you'll excuse me, it's not fine, chas v'shalom. But in the same meaning, this works if she dies. Because then if she dies, it turns out retroactively she was divorced. And the Kohen Gadol was only married to one woman now over Yom Kippur. The Dilma lo ma'isa, maybe she won't die. And therefore, v'havile shnei batim. And again, we're still back to this. If she doesn't die, then there's no get. If there's no get, then what? That he's been married to two women and retroactively the avodah of Yom Kippur was no good. V'havile shnei batim. Ella, He says to her, no, this is your get on the condition that you don't die. So we'll say, now watch this. So ilo misa, if she doesn't die, migar shala. So we'll say, if she doesn't die, then what? Then retroactively, he divorces her. The imesa, and if she does die, ha kai mahach. If she does die, it's okay. Why? Because, I mean, again, it will say, I'm going to speak a little crassly. Just you know, it's not okay, chas v'shalom. But you understand what I mean. It's okay for these purposes over here, because, again, he'll only be married to one woman. So the Gemara says, okay, the dilma hilo mesa. Maybe she won't die. Maybe she won't die. The havi le gita dahai gita. And what happens? And this get will be a good get. Umesa chaverta. But what will happen, Abba Osai? Wife number one will die. See, this case works well as long as both women live. Because then if both women live, then retroactively, wife number two's get is chal. And therefore, it turns out that over Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is only married to one woman. But what happens if wife number two lives, and therefore, again, it's chal retroactively, and what? Wife number one dies on Yom Kippur. Then what does it turn out? It turns out that retroactively, he was not married to anyone over Yom Kippur. The kamle below bias. El de amrla. Okay, so he has another one. Amenas shetamos achos mikem. Okay, so what does he say? This is your get. This is your get on the condition that one of you die. Like I said, Rabbi Osai, you have to certainly work on the lashon a little bit. But okay, this is your get on the condition that one of you die. So the Gemara says meisaha. So if one of them dies, so let's say the second wife dies, kaimahach. The first one is alive. Meisahach. This first second one dies, ha kaimaha. They're also, the point is, as long as one of them is alive, so the maisa it works. So the Gemara says, v'ledilma lo maisa v'lo chad minayu. Maybe no one will die. And if no one will die, we're back to the same problem we had before. V'havile shnei batim. We're going to be left, he's going to be married to two women. Furthermore, this type of condition would invalidate a get. Remember, this is your get on the condition that you die. So we'll say, why would this condition invalidate a get? Listen to what the Gemara says. The Hamar Rav Rava says, Harei ze giteich, amanas shelo tishte yayin kol yimei chayai v'chayeichi. If a man says to his wife, this is your get on the condition that you never drink wine for the rest of your life and my life. So the Gemara says, ein ze krisus. That's not a get. Rav Rava says, why is that not a get? You could attach a tanai to a get. You could attach it, you could give a conditional get, but the condition cannot span the entire lifetime of the woman. Why? Because if there's a condition that's going to be hovering over for the rest of her life, that is not a full separation. A get has to be a sefer krisos, has to be a book that divides. If there is some type of condition that binds husband and wife or ex-husband, ex-wife together until the day that she dies, that is not a separation. However, if he says, kol yimei chayei ploni, if he says you can't drink wine as long as Reuven is alive, even if Reuven is a healthy young man, then harei ze krisos, then that indeed is a proper krisos. So the point of all says the Gemara is making, without getting into the laws of Gittin right now, is that if he says to her, this is your get on the condition that you die, that's not a good get to begin with. Because again, what that does is that creates a condition that's in place until when? For the rest of her life. Such a get is not a proper division between husband and wife. So also, the point the Gemara is saying over here is that this last tonight won't work on two levels. It won't work because the Maisa, if no one dies, he's married to two women. And it also doesn't work because the tonight that you're attaching to the get also doesn't work. Elo de Amrla, rather, what does he say to her? Harizegitech amanash shalo tamos chavirich. Chavirasech. Rather, what does he say to her? This is your get on the condition that your friend does not die. Your friend over here, they're not really friends, right? Right. The friend over here is the co-wife. So this is your get on the condition that my first wife doesn't die. I lo misa. So again, if the first wife doesn't die, chaverta migarsha, then what? Wife number two is divorced. The imesa, and if wife number one dies, ha, excuse me, imesa ha, ha kaimaha. And if what happens, and again, I'll both say either way this works. Either if wife number one dies, then wife number two is still married. And if wife number two dies, wife number one is still there. So the Gemara says, V'dilma, maisa chaverta bepalga d'avoda. But maybe wife number one will die in the midst of the avoda. The igali milsala mafreya. And I'll both say, remember, if wife number one dies in the middle of the avoda, the igali milsala mafreya, the gita daha lav gita. Then it'll turn out that what? That the get of this one was not a get. So again, if wife number one dies in the middle of the avoda, then Lemaisa, it turns out that he started Yom Kippur with two wives. And that would potentially invalidate the service. Ella da Amrullah, rather, what does he say to her? Hari zagitech amenas shetamos chaverasech. Rather, what does he say? He says to wife number two, this is your get on the condition that wife number one dies. That wife number one dies. V'dilma maise chaverta. Okay, so now what will happen? Maybe wife number one will die. V'havi legita, d'ha gita, v'kam le'belo bais. I will say again, this is not going to work either, because what's going to happen? Maybe, again, I will say, maybe they're both going to die, right? Maybe the chaver, excuse me, maybe wife number one will die. If wife number one dies, then retroactively the get is not good. Get is good. If the get is good, then it turns out that he has no wife for the duration of the avoda. Ella demigarish lehu letarvayu. Rather, so also, so what does the Gemara say? Again, remember, we pretty much exhausted all the possibilities of a tenai that's going to work. So what does he do? He goes ahead and he divorces both of them. He gives them both a get, conditional gin. And what happens? For one of them, he says, this is your get, on the condition that your friend does not die, your co-wife does not die. And to one of them, he says, and the other one, he says, this is your get, on the condition that you don't walk into shul on Yom Kippur. Now, I will say, what's the chap of that tonight? The chap of that tonight is that is a circumstance you can control. What he gives her is there's like a get fail safe. So let's analyze this for just a moment. So for example, he says to wife number one, this is your get on the condition that your fellow doesn't die. Fellow doesn't die, which means what, Rabosai? That as long as she stays alive, then what? Then Lemaisa, as long as she stays alive, then the get is chal retroactively. If the get is chal retroactively, then he's only married to one woman. But Lemaisa, again, let's say wife number two dies. So what is what does wife number one do about her conditional get? It's very simply, what does she do? Just step into shul. And by stepping into shul, what she does is she negates the get. So what the chap the Gemara is pointing out over here is the best way to do this, in order to control all the variables, give them both gittin, but give one of them a get with a t'nai, that can be controlled. This way, because you have a get fail safe, you could avoid the potential of practicing on Yom Kippur with two wives. But in the event that, let's say, the second one dies, the first one could negate her get simply by taking action on her own part.
But he can't so take her back if she's divorced.
No, that's the whole point. She's not divorced. She's going to negate the get from ever taking effect. That's what he's doing. V'dilma lo maisi chaverta. But one second. But what about the following possibility? Maybe wife number one won't die. V'dilma lo maisi chaverta. Or really, wife number two won't die. V'lo aylihi lebei sakneses. And she and wife number one won't step into the shul. Because it was like, maybe wife number one says, oh, I'm going to show you. You think this is going to do to the Yom Kippur? You know what? So wife number two dies. Wife number one says, I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting at home. And then what happens to Bosai? Bahavi le gita de tarvayo gita. And then what ends up happening? Both are divorced. They come lay below bayis. Right? And what happens? And he has no wife, so Yom Kippur. And after Yom Kippur also. Ella lechada. Rather, what does he do? Ella lechada amrla. So again, Bosai, we're still going to stick with this possibility of giving two gittin. Ella lechada amrla. To one of them, he'll say the following. Ella lechada amrla. He says to one of them, this is your get on the condition that your fellow, your co-wife, doesn't die. Oh, so I will say, this is a much better case, because what does he do? He creates the second get totally conditional, but he's a smart enough man not to leave this in the hands of his wife. What does he do? He puts the condition in his own hands. This is your get on the condition that I don't walk into the shul. So this way, Rabosai, again, he has the ability to go ahead and activate the get himself. It does enter. Rabosai, because what happens? If this one dies, the other one will be alive. And if this one dies, they will be alive. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ika le'meimar." So what are you concerned about? Dilma ma'isa chaverta bepalga da avoda. What's going to happen? Because maybe one of the wives is going to die in the middle of the avoda. Va'avid le avoda le'mafreya b'shnei batim. And what's going to happen? And he will go ahead and end up doing the avoda while retroactively married to two women. So the Gemara says, "No, it's not a problem. I mean, why isn't it a problem? I chazi la dikaboy le'meimas." Because Rabbi says, if he sees that one of them is going to die, so what does he do? Meaning, this only works, obviously, if he sees that she's sick and she's going to die. Kadim ihu va'ayla be'sak neses. He goes ahead and he runs into the shul. Umashvi Ligita Daha Gita Lamafreya. And what does he do? And he goes ahead and retroactively, he can walk into the shul and retroactively trigger the get. Okay. Maskifla, it was a shtibol. It was always a breakaway. It's always a breakaway. Maskifla Rav Asi V'itema Rav Avira. Elameata, using this logic, Shte Yevamos Habaos Mi Bayis Achos Lo Yisyapnu. So Rabbi Osai, again, just so you should understand, what's ended up happening over here is the Gemara really seems to end off with this last case. The Gemara really ends off that we have a problem. There really is a difficulty. We'll still try to resolve it. But the Gemara gives this whole, we especially spent the daf and a half trying to figure out what Tanai can employ in order to be married to these two women. And the truth is, we've seen all of them really have their holes. So the Gemara now just raises a secondary issue. Using this logic, Elame'ata, Shtei Yevamos Haba'os Mibayis Echad. If you have two Yevamos that come from one home, now we'll say, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. It's on the top of the daf, three lines into Rashi, on the wide lines. Shtei Yevamos Haba'os Me'adam Echad. So, Shahayelo Shtei Nashim. If you have a man that was married to two women, Lo Tisyavim Afilo Achas Me'an Daha Bayis Echad. See, Rabbi, say, listen to this. Let's say the Kohen Gadol has a brother, and the brother dies, it doesn't have to be the Kohen Gadol, I take that back. So let's say a regular case of Yibum. And what happens? Brother dies, and he leaves two widows. So using the logic that we said before, Rabbi said that bias means one wife, and not two wives, that would seem to mean that the surviving brother can't do Yibum with two Yevamos. Why? So the Gemara says, well, say, look at Rashi. So Rashi says, Kevan de Amar Le'el Beiso, Ein kam shtayim b'mashma. So we'll say again, by Yibum, the Torah also says that the surviving brother was going to go ahead and establish the bayis, the home of his deceased brother. So if you're telling me that bayis means one wife and not two, that would mean that if the deceased brother left two wives behind, that apparently the surviving brother would not be able to do Yibum with both of them, to which the Gemara says, that's not true. Why? Yevimto, yevimto riba. Abosai, the Pasuk by Yibum says the following. It says the word Yevimto twice. And then for Abosai, because it says the word Yevimto twice, then Lemaisa, that tells you what? That comes to include more than one wife. That even though there's a bias that ultimately allows for only one. So Lemaisa, again, Yevimto allows for multiple. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, I'm sorry. Yevimto, Yevimto, Riba. Maskif lo Ravina. So Ravina raises a kasha. Ravina says, V'itema Rav Sharvia. Elame'ata arusa lo tisyavim. But using this logic again, an arusa also should not be able to do yibum. Now why not? Look at Rashi. Daha bayis ksiv. Va'at amrit la'el kol kama delo kanis le'lo beis. So Bosa, listen to this. Let's say deceased brother, we'll call him Reuven. Let's say Reuven dies and he did not do nisuin with his wife. He only did erusin. So maybe you'd be tempted to say that what? That yibum should not apply to a wife that only had erusin, but also had nisuin. And why would you say that? Because again, the Torah uses the word bias, by yibum, and bias, as we just said before, by the Kohen Gadol, means what, Rabosai? Means full consecrated marriage. So the Gemara says, maybe you shouldn't do yibum by an arusa. So to which the Gemara says, hachutza lerabos es ha'arusa. So Rabosai, interestingly enough, the Torah says hachutza. So hachutza, this lashon the Torah says, hachutza li'ishzar, that she should not have to go, the wife of the deceased husband should not have to go out. So Rabbi said, the Gemara seems to understand that the word hachutza, going out, comes to include even the arusa. What does that mean? It means that any woman who was on the inside of marriage, even if it wasn't full-fledged marriage, it was just erusin and not nisuin, such a woman will still be subject to the laws of Yibum. So the Gemara goes, Turn around on. Kohen Gadol makriv onim ve'ino ochal. The Kohen Gadol goes ahead. The Kohen Gadol could be makriv onim ve'ino ochal. So also we know this, that the laws of Avelos don't apply to a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol does not tear his coin. The Kohen Gadol cannot even be metame for his seven close relatives. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, a Kohen Gadol, although he can offer up the sacrificial service in a state of Tumah, he cannot eat. He cannot eat. Actually, also we saw this earlier. So he can do the avodah, but if there are certain parts of the karbanos that are consumed, he may not eat of the karban. Rabbi Yehuda says, look at Rashi just for a moment. Rashi says, "Ve'ino ochel shlo hutra kan ela avodah v'kachim asurim la'onim kavachori ma'aser hakal sha'amar Torah lo achalti ba'onim mimenu." So Rashi points out that we learn out actually from Meiser that you're not allowed to eat from Meiser in a state of Aninos, and if you can't eat from Meiser in a state of Aninos, then certainly what? You can't eat from sacrificial items. He could do the Avodah, but he can't eat. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Hayom, the whole day, So what does that mean? My kol ayom, amar Rava lo nitzricha elu lahavio misoch beiso. I will say, interestingly enough, according to Rabbi Yehuda says that a Kohen Gadol is permitted to do the avodah the entire day. And not only that, what do we do? If the Kohen Gadol was not in the Beis HaMikdash at the time that he became an Onen, what do? We literally bring him from his house and bring him to the Beis HaMikdash. Because I will say, remember, the example, when we normally talk about the Kohen Gadol doing the avodah when he's an Onen, how do we normally conceptualize it? That he's in the Beis HaMikdash doing the avodah and he hears about what occurred. But now what the Rabbi Huda is saying is that, no, even if he's not in the Beis HaMikdash at the time when the news occurs, but rather he's at home, what do? We actively bring him from his home to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Look at Rashi, why would we do such a thing? Lahavio misoch beiso. Rashi says, mitzvahu shevio lemikdash la'avod kalayom. It's a mitzvah to bring him to the Beis HaMikdash to do the avodah the whole day. Kedei lefakeach tzara. This is amazing. Why? To ease his pain. The assumption is that if we don't allow the Kohen Gadol to go ahead and do the avodah, it's going to amplify his pain of loss. And also, remember, the Kohen Gadol has a very unique type of pain because he's not a regular person. He can't go to the levaya. He can't help in the kvura. He doesn't sit shiva. He doesn't tear his clothing. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda says, almost as if he's not going to be able to mourn, then what do we need him to do? We need him to do the avodah. So we pick him up from his house. We bring him to the Beis HaMikdash. Amar le Abayi, hashta, Rabbi Huda afuki mafkin alei. Okay, Rabbi, what we're going to do is we're going to stop over here by Amar Le Abaye because I want to share with you a few things. So we left off again in the middle of this sugya over here. So we'll figure out what we're going to do with the Kohen Gadol who's in owning tomorrow. But just again to close up a couple of loose ends. Number one, like we said before, the Rambam paskins that the halacha follows like Rabbi Yossi. So this is Rambam Avodas Yom Kippurim Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. Three things we learn. Number one, avodaso mechanchaso. If the Kohen Gadol does in Yom Kippur, the way we inaugurate the skan is through avoda. Number two, once the Kohen Gadol is fit to come back for service, the skan is decommissioned, yet he still remains the Kohen Gadol, which means what? If he did the avoda in Kohen Gadol clothing, the avoda is good. And when the Kohen Gadol dies, who becomes the automatic next Kohen Gadol? The skan. That's the Rambam. Next. The halacha is Rambam Paskins. This is in Klei HaMikdash, Perek Hey, Pasuk Yud. Rambam writes, Ve'eno nosei shtei nashim. The Kohen Gadol cannot be married to two women at the time of the avoda. Ve'im nasa shtein. I take that back. The Rambam Paskins, that the Kohen Gadol in general may not be married to two women. However, ve'im nasa shtein, if he did marry two women, ve'eno yachal la'avod b'yom atzom. If the Kohen Gadol was married to two women, apparently, again, that would not necessarily preclude him from doing his Kohanic duties on a day-to-day basis, but it would prevent him from doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur, so he'd have to go ahead and divorce one of them. Next, also going back to yesterday for just one moment, remember we had the Machlokis on Yud Beis Amud Aleph about whether or not Yerushalayim nischalka l'shvatim, right? Was Yerushalayim divided up among the Shvatim or not? The Rambam paskins that Yerushalayim was not divided up among the Shvatim. Yerushalayim, although it was technically speaking in the tribal area of Yehudin Binyamin, it did not actually belong to Yehudin Binyamin, it belonged to all of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, as a result of that, remember based on yesterday's sugya, there is no nigoim, there is no nige habatim, there is no tsara'as of the homes in Yerushalayim, the Rambam paskins, and in maskirin b'sil chabatim. The Rambam says that when the Olei Regel came, therefore what? If I was a homeowner, I cannot rent out my house or rent out a bed to the people who came for Aliyah L'Regel. What can I do? I can take their hides, animal hides, right? I could go ahead, right? I could go ahead and say, you know what? You stayed by my house. You should give me the hides. But l'maisa the Rambam paskins that Yerushalayim was not nischalka l'shvatim. I'll end off with one last thing, which I think is quite fascinating. There is a tshuva by the what time is it? There's a tshuva. Who played with the clock up there? It says 6:45 up there. All right, there was a going. So I'll say, all right, we have a little coffee. So listen, so I'll say, so I'll take something interesting. We could have gone by during the Gemara. Okay, I could have gotten to the Mishnah. Okay, fine. So there's an interesting tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov. The Shvus Yaakov is Rav Yaakov Reischer, who lived 1670 to 1733 in Prague. So, so listen to this. The Shvus Yaakov says, "De echad shenasa isha al ishto." Listen to this. This is a lemaisa case. Let's say a man married a second wife. So you'll say to yourself, "How can a man marry a second wife?" There's such a thing. It's called a heter mei rabbanim. A heter mei rabbanim means, without getting into all technicalities of rabbis, say that if a woman, for some reason, is not receiving a get, this often comes up. Unfortunately, let's say in cases of of Alzheimer's or cases where a woman doesn't have the mental capacity to receive a get, but the husband wants to get remarried. So what happens is there's something called the Heter Mei Rabbanim, which essentially is you have to get 100 signatures of Rabbanim that would ultimately allow for a man to get remarried. Since technically speaking on a biblical level, so a man can get remarried, but there's a Chirim Rabbeinu Gershom, essentially a rabbinic ban. So the rabbinic ban could be lifted by 100 rabbinic signatures. So let's say a man got married through what's called the Heter Mei Rabbanim. So listen to this. The Shmos Yaakov says, the Shuv lo yispalel biyamim noroim, Lahotzi hat sibor yedechovasam. The Shvus Yaakov says, bless you, that this person who's married to this woman through a Heter Mei Rabbanim should not go ahead and that he shouldn't be the Chazan Yamim Noroim. Why not? Ad she yegarish as ishtar rishon, until he's somehow able to divorce his first wife. Why? V'hu api ma shepasa karama, the shliach tzibor yom noroim, tzarech lios nosui, dumya de kohen gadol biyom ekipurin. So listen to this. So he says, because how does the Ramah paskin? The Ramah says that the shliach tzibor for yom noroim should be married. Should be married. Why? Because the shliach tzibor yom noraim, you should listen very carefully. The shliach tzibor yom noraim is like the kohen gadol. He is like tefillah today is instead of the avoda. So the shliach tzibor is like the kohen gadol. Therefore, says the Ramah, just like the kohen gadol had to be married, so to what the shliach tzibor has to be married. So the Shavuos Yaakov takes this a step further. Just like the kohen gadol, could what? Only be married to one woman, beso velo shnei batim. So to what, says the Shvos Yaakov, the Shliach Tzibor could also only be married to one woman and not two women. Can't have shnei batim. And therefore, the Shvos Yaakov says that although, again, this man did everything in conformance with halacha, but since he's technically married to two women, therefore, says Shvos Yaakov, he should not go ahead and serve as Shliach Tzibor of Yom Noraim. The Birkei Yosef and others of Shvos Yaakov argue on this particular Shvos Yaakov, but the Shvos Yaakov holds his ground and says that the Shliach Tzibor must resemble the Kohen Gadol in every single way, and therefore, again, if he's married to two women, albeit halachically, legally, he still can't serve a Shliach Tzibor. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem. Good Gimel Lamed Beis tomorrow. I'm sorry. I think that was recorded.
What's her status?
She's married. She's Nishish.
The only heter is for him
to remarry. She's Nishish, yeah.
Fascinating. What about the simple solution? I'll marry young